Well, it seems like older men are frequently having children if news reports about aging rock stars are anything to go by anyway. That's the only evidence I'm basing that on. But new research presented at a meeting of leading fertility researchers and medical professionals in Geneva this week has suggested that the age of a male partner or donor could play more of a role in a successful pregnancy than we think. So how quickly is the male biological clock ticking? There is a male biological clock. Dr. E. Wen Sim is a lecturer at Western Clinical School with Melbourne University. Welcome, Dr. Wen.
Thank you for having me.
So how significant is the impact of a male's age on a couple's fertility, on their, you know, ability to have a child?
I think it's one of those things we often don't think about. We always think about the female, and I guess we forget gender equity. You need a man and a woman. And I guess the research you're referring to is not the first research that's been out that it really does suggest that the older you get in men, it does make a difference. So we do know that once you get past 50, for example, the time to conception does increase. And also even once with conception and pregnancy, the outcomes are worse. And in particular, you do have higher rates of miscarriage. So that is something that we have been seeing for some time now.
For many women, 35 is when you start to see a decline in fertility, or that's like the age. And, you know, if you just talk to women anecdotally about it, that highly aware because of so much research about that age. Is it the same for men?
The main difference between men and women is whilst it does, there is a biological clock in men, it's in women it tends to sort of very slippery slope, it almost falls off a cliff, you could so to speak. In a man, it tends to be much more gradual. So it's probably not so much at age 35, but it is a very gradual decline that continues on and on and on. So you're right, you do hear stories of men who are in their 60s and 70s who can have kids, but clearly the fertility outcomes, the older you get, is reduced. So I guess the general advice would be the earlier the better.
And, you know, you say 35 is the age often cited for women. You say it's more gradual. When does this gradual decline start happening, though?
Look, I think it's not clear, but I think if you look at some of the literature, they look at sort of different age groups, it's really more apparent from into the 40s, but definitely into the 50s is very, very obvious.
So it becomes quite apparent
it's
a significant shift.
Absolutely.
Are there any risks that are associated with older men having children or contributing to making children?
Look, I think the premise behind it is we think about the older the woman gets, the poorer the egg quality. In men, it's the same thing. It's also the quality of the sperm. And when we talk about the sperm, I mean, you take the fun out of it. What sperm really is a way of getting the male DNA to the egg. And I guess the other thing we need to look at is the actual the DNA quality. So it's very hard for us to measure DNA quality, but the thought is if the DNA quality isn't as good, then that means it's not as good at fertilising eggs, but also the offspring. We are starting to see more data with the offspring as they get older. There's definitely higher rates of, for example, autism and higher rates of schizophrenia and bipolar disorder in those kids as they grow up. And that's thought to be maybe coming back to DNA quality. So poorer DNA quality, therefore, that can lead to longer term outcomes.
Have there been, you alluded to it a little, but other similar studies that have shown a link between male age and sperm quality?
If you look at epidemiological studies, it's difficult to tell. But the problem with sperm is that when you look at, say, a sperm test, all you're doing is counting the number of sperm, looking at how pretty they look, for example. We don't have very good measures on actual DNA quality, and we're not able to test how good that sperm is fertilising. For ethical reasons, we can't actually do a diagnostic test in that way. But I mean, from an epidemiological point of view, it's pretty obvious. And I guess now we're looking at the live outcomes, and really the best data we have is live outcomes in terms of how long time to conception, what happens as the kids grow up. So that's really the data we're having. And I think as over the next 10, 20 years, we're going to get more and more data with regards to that, simply because the kids have gone through IVF, the kids are getting older, and we'll see more and more of that.
Some women opt to freeze their eggs for later use because there is such a high recognition of this fertility, you know, time bomb, as it's described. And I'm using, you know, the sort of tabloid language deliberately in case someone thinks I really would use that in my life. But, you know, it's all going to happen. 35, be careful. Mm. So women do this. Can men do anything to preserve their fertility for longer?
Well, similarly, I guess, yes. I mean, I guess men could ultimately freeze their sperm. I guess it's not something that's been pretty easy to do for some time. But I guess probably the biggest thing is the earlier the better. And I guess from a male point of view, if you want to think about health outcomes and fertility, probably staying healthy is probably the most important thing. We know that fertility tends to parallel general health. So if men do all the right things, for example, stay fit, stay healthy, exercise, don't avoid smoking, alcohol, those are probably the things that are probably more important than thinking about freezing sperm.
Just a social question linked to this. I know, you know, you're very good on the medicine and all the research, and I've loved picking your brain. But let's just talk about the social element here. Women have been told, in fact, I feel like it's in my entire adult life, you know, just to be basically afraid of, you know, when you're going to have a child. You really are. It's drummed into you. But this doesn't seem to happen to men. Should we be more aware of that or sharing that story with men?
Absolutely. I think it's partly that men sort of avoid medical help in general. And sort of, I guess health, the only time we really see men is when they get dragged across with their wives trying to have kids. So from a practical point, absolutely. I think, but men, we don't get into the conversation about health enough. And fertility is absolutely a part of that conversation. I think we do these sort of research and having these sort of discussions helps raise that profile. And I think it's something that men need to think about a bit more.
Has there been a research bias towards women on these fertility issues? Is there a bigger reason why we don't hear enough about the other side of the story?
Look, I mean, absolutely. I think that you're right. I mean, I guess when you're trying to restore fertility, it's much easier for men because, I mean, we think about the advances we've had in terms of male fertility over the last 10 years, 10, 20 years have been amazing. And at the end of the day, nowadays, we can find sperm in men that we previously weren't able to find sperm in. So because often we can get around it with, I guess, IVF and some of the technology, we can sort of solve that problem. Therefore, we don't necessarily go back to the root of the problem and say, look, is there actually a problem? We've got a nice bypass around that issue, so you can avoid that discussion.
So it's easier to solve when you realise there's an issue rather than for women where it becomes harder to solve.
Exactly, because for women, I mean, IVF is not necessarily an easy thing to go through, as anyone who's been through it would attest.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for coming in.